Well, good morning. It is good to be here today. This week has been a long week. In fact, it feels in some ways like I have packed 2 weeks into this 1 week. As many of you know, I was at General Assembly this year, or this past week, which was held in the beautiful city of Kingston, Ontario. And arrived there Sunday afternoon and got home in just in time to pick the kids up from school on Wednesday afternoon. And it was long. I will share that. I will share a lot about General Assembly with you in the next little while. It was long. General Assembly begins with worship on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. And I think we got out of the church a little bit before 10 p.m. So it's a long worship service. But we did some official business as well, including electing the new moderator of the Presbyterian Church, the Reverend Peter Bush from Winnipeg, and he will represent our denomination over this coming year. And I think he will do a good job at that, as he did a good job moderating a very difficult General Assembly. General Assembly begins every morning at 8:30 with worship. That's really early for me. Just letting you know. And it ends every day at 8:30, or at least that's when it's supposed to end. On Monday, we finished at 9. On Tuesday, we finished at 10. It was long. I have with me my voting card. If you don't have one of these, you can't vote. So you don't lose these, and I put my name on mine in case I did, so I could get it back. And if you were asleep at the wheel when a vote was taken, and it was a close vote, and they did a recount, if you didn't put your hand up the first time, you're not allowed to put it up when they do the recount. And so you must pay attention. I don't think I'll institute that at congregational meetings, but... And of course, it's also interesting because on the back of the voting card, we are told exactly what you can do when a recommendation is before us in terms of motions, amendments, amendment to amendments, etc., etc., etc. And so General Assembly was this past week. And as I said, it was very long and it was very trying in many ways. But it was also a wonderful week. We're fortunate to have several guest speakers, interfaith and ecumenical guest speakers. We had Alia Hoffman, who is the executive director of the Canadian Council of Muslim Women, and I believe she's spoken at University of Women. And she was wonderful. She spoke about what it was like to be a Muslim today and a Muslim woman today in Canadian society, and how we as the Presbyterian Church would reflect on that, and how we could reach out to these communities that are around us. We also had an international speaker, and I'm going to get her name wrong. I want her last name wrong. Her name is Dora Kanzista Nagy, and she is from Budapest, and she works at the Kalumba Social Services Association, which deals with refugees who are coming into Budapest. And Budapest has closed its borders. It's not allowing refugees in anymore. So her association works with the refugees that are there, helping them to integrate into society and providing them the services that they need. And we have the Reverend Andre Laverne from the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada speak to us and bring his greetings from his denomination about the work that they are doing, the Lutheran Church is doing. And finally, we had Dr. Cindy Blackstock there, and she was the E.H. Johnson Award winner. The E.H. Johnson Award is for being on the cutting edge of mission. But Cindy Blackstock is not a Presbyterian. I don't know if you know who she is, but she does significant and tremendous work in the Truth and Reconciliation program that is going on with our First Nations. And some of the work she has done has come at great personal cost to herself. And she took the government to court in order for them to live up to their obligation in the Truth and Reconciliation report to ensure that the government holds up its end of the bargain. And she challenged us to make it so that our current generation, who are now down in Sunday school, wouldn't have to apologize for anything else. That we could get it done. That we could take care of this sordid blemish in our history with residential schools and make things right. We heard about a lot of wonderful issues at General Assembly about justice issues. I learned that there are some 80 or 90 communities in Canada who are under a boil water advisory. So we will be writing as a denomination a letter to the government to say this isn't right. And some of those communities that are under a boil water advisory have been so since the 90s. Could you imagine? And 80% of them are First Nations. We have a lot of work to do. This is Canada. I don't think there's a person here who could imagine living under a boil water advisory for a day a week, never mind. We looked at the issue of physician-assisted suicide, which has been brought into law in our country. And what should our response be to that as a denomination? How should we do that? And it's interesting, at General Assembly, the young adult representatives, they're representing the church, and I believe Jimmy Nutella was a young adult representative 8 years past. They now get an advisory vote. And so if they so wish to advise General Assembly, the moderator says the young adult reps will now give their advisory vote. And on the issue of physician-assisted suicide, they all voted against the recommendation. And that's really interesting. And so I sat with some of the young adult representatives at lunch following that session, and I'm like, so why'd you vote no against that? Because it was a really well-reasoned and thought-out response that approached it from both sides. And their response was, we were asleep at the wheel. And by the time we were raising our hands to say the affirmative, you'd already said those against, and their hands all went up. Against, but they actually were trying to advise for the recommendation, which overwhelmingly was supported by the Assembly. The most trying, and I mean trying, issue that was before us was many of the overtures regarding human sexuality. Our denomination is wrestling with the place of LGBTQI individuals, whether we can marry them correctly, I cannot. Whether they can be ordained currently, they cannot. This is an important issue. And I will say that we spent an inordinate amount of time on it, such that we weren't able to have full conversations about some of the other issues. It took the Assembly 2 hours to deal with one recommendation of a four-minute committee to offer an apology. 2 hours of amending that recommendation. I will say that we eventually passed that recommendation, and it was a stronger recommendation than it began with. But by the end of Tuesday evening, which went to 10 o'clock, when we finally put to bed the last of the recommendations on human sexuality, I will tell you that I was. I was. And still, spiritually, emotionally, physically, drained. So as we said the closing prayer at that Sedaris, I wept. I wept for the decisions we made, and I wept for the decisions we did not make. And I wept for our Presbyterian Church. And I say that because this issue of human sexuality and the place of LGBTQI individuals is an issue which many feel is going to divide our church. And the General Assembly was fairly evenly split. I do not feel that this issue will split our church. I think our church, this church, Presbyterian Church of Canada, is stronger than that. I also believe it's not our
church. I believe it's God's church. Christ, not to us.
And as we wrestle with these issues, and the session and the congregation will be wrestling with these issues, there are four study documents that we'll be looking at come the fall and winter on these issues and other issues as well. We will wrestle with them. But the reason I don't feel that Christ Church, the Presbyterian Church in Canada, will be divided over this issue is what I find in Scripture. And as I was looking at our gospel lesson for today, I was just filled with this is what matters. That one, all authority belongs to Jesus from heaven and earth. But Jesus asks us to go out to teach. And as I shared with the children, what is the most important thing that Jesus taught us? Everything came down to love, being good relationship with one another. And I believe that if we as the Presbyterian Church in Canada can agree on these core bases, confessing of God, Jesus and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as a central tenet of our faith, who we are, that these other issues, though important, don't need to divide us, that we can find unity in that difference. And we can go out and we can work with one another and we can share this good news with everyone that we meet. We can teach them what Jesus has taught us about how to be with one another, how to love one another. And we can remember that as we do so, Jesus is with us, even unto the end of the age. The theme for General Assembly was what I used for the assurance of heart. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From Hebrews. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And the love that Jesus offers us does not change. And there will be those who will doubt. Who will doubt that we can fulfill this mandate if we are divided. Who will doubt that we can make a difference in such a modern, secular world where we find ourselves. The disciples doubted. Some of them doubted. 11. Last week I preached on Acts and all the faithful had gathered and there was 120. But we need to remember that there were 11 disciples meeting. 11. Yeah. Could Jesus really be risen from the dead? Even though he was right there. Even though they were worshiping him. They worshiped him and they have. So is it so unrealistic for us to also have our doubts? But even in the midst of those doubts, maintain our faith and share that love which has been so graciously shared with us. That's what we're called to do. Despite our differences culturally, racially, regardless of our orientation, gender, to share God. Because God shared that love with us. And what we see over and over again when we look in Scripture is that God, Jesus, shared his love with people that he wasn't supposed to be sharing love with, that he wasn't supposed to be being gracious to. The woman asked, well, you should never have talked about scandals. The story of the Good Samaritan is a reminder to stop bickering. Start loving. And he uses a Samaritan, an individual that the Jewish people had great conflict with, as his example of who's God in heaven. So we love one another. Because Jesus is with us. And so, yes, I come away from
General Assembly, as I imagine many of the commissioners did, exhausted, tired of victory, tired of fighting over an important issue with a message of let's love one another. Love the people we're called to serve. And I know that it's possible because I share meals with people who are on the other side of the issue that I was, my human sexuality. And we had wonderful conversation about our differences. And got up from the table after sharing the meal, still friends. I know that we as a church, this as a community of faith here in Coburg, is full of God's love. That we are called to go and to share. So let's follow Christ.